Amen. I want to thank all those that made it out here physically at the barn. I want to thank all those that are listening, whether it's live or through a CD, recorded message. It's not by accident that you're hearing this voice, because I call this voice the living word. It's not my voice, but it's His voice. It's living and it's alive and it's in this hour. And if I had to title this message, I would title it The Call, because I believe God is knocking on your door. It's not by accident. He has ordained this voice, this word, to go to those who are hearers. And if you're hearing, if you're listening, then you're one of His chosen for the call. Now, let me emphasize what the call is, because, you know, some people might think, well, you know, do I have to go into ministry? Do I have to become a pastor? Do I have to, you know, be ordained? Do I have to? No, God's call is His leading. And I want to share what I mean by His leading. Not all of us understand, but we've been breaking down what the soul is. We've been speaking several weeks now about the soul and how that soul is the sin nature of our existence. You know, traditionally speaking, it was known as we were born in sin. And the reality of it is, it's not that we were born in sin, but we were born in a nature, a sin nature, a nature that thrives and lives on sin. It needs to be fed on sin in order to survive. It's a nature that we only know. We don't know any other nature. We call it us. We call it me. We call it I. It's an identity that we received from the birth. We grew up in a nature, and it included our geographical location, our surroundings, our family, our heritage, our traditions, or even our religious backgrounds. And it was all formed and molded, and the Bible calls it the world. And the Bible says, come out of the world. Come out of that nature. Come out of that life. And that nature is developed, and it's really hard to believe this, especially if you were brought up in a good geographical location or a good family, or maybe not a good family, but you were able to have morals and led yourself to be a good person. But it's not about being good and bad, right or wrong. It's about survival. It's about living. It's about the way. It's about living your life in accordance to a way. Survival. All we know is the mind, the reasons, our thoughts. And our patterns of our minds, our reasons, and our thoughts are all consumed by the nature of the soul. And the soul, remember, needs to survive. And the food of the soul is sin. It's lust. It's consumption. It's indulgence. It's anxiety. It's fear. It's hatred. It's worry. It's all those things that consumes us and gives us what Pastor Sam earlier said, a troubled heart. When our hearts are troubled, we're lost, we're confused, and we don't know the call. We don't know the way of life, and we try to figure it out. And our minds, I want to call it the conscious state of life. The conscious state of life is like a driven force. It drives you. It's filled with strife. It's filled with envy. And it wears you down. It exhausts you, even to the point of becoming hopeless. It causes your heart to be heavy and weary, and it's like starving for water. It's starving. It's thirsting, and it's seeking for food. It's causing you to hunger and thirst more, but it hungers and thirsts after more sin because it has to survive. It wearies you down and causes you to do things that later on you regret, or you have the mind of, condemnation, guilt, shame, because the soul, and we don't really understand this, and I want to give you grace, I want to give you knowledge, I want to give you understanding, that the soul, when you thrive in the soul and lean on your own understandings, it leads you down the wrong way, the wrong path. And Pastor Tim opened up about narrow is the road, you know, that leads to eternal life, but wide is the path that leads to destruction. And it's so true, because we're out there leaning on our own understanding, trying to find a way for our lives to survive and live. In the meantime, we're eating the wrong food that is not healthy for us, which alters the way. It causes our bodies to break down. It causes our minds to break down. It causes our thoughts and our feelings to break down through discouragement or just negativity or whatever it might be. But we get ran down to the point where we become hopeless or we have no life. Now, a lot of us might be stronger than others and have strong wills and are able to fight that nature and continue to go, 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 go. I know myself, before my life was changed, I was a fighter. I looked at myself as a fighter. I had a strong heart that fought, and I got knocked down, and I picked myself back up, and I got knocked down, and I picked myself up. But I'm going to tell you right now, the soul won. I became broken. I came weary. I became on wit's end. On the outside, I had everything. People would think, what is wrong with this dude? He's got it all going on. But inside, I was dead. Inside, I was dead and on the verge of just totally giving up on life in itself until God intervened and changed my life. And that's another story. But I realized he gave me the grace to understand the battles that we're at and what we go through. And God is calling us. He's calling us. And when we can come to this place, he leads us now. There's no more striving. There's no more figuring it out. There's no more failure, really, because in God's eyes, he leads us and guides us and directs us on the path to a life. You know, it's not a path of religion. It's a path of life. And that life is all your dreams and desires and your hopes and your passions and your loves. He causes you to follow the anointing. I call it the anointing because the anointing is what? Unctions, feelings, inspirations, thoughts of the heart. There's a conscious and there's a subconscious. The subconscious is the call that God is causing us to walk. The conscious is the soul nature of thought and reason that leads you down destruction. It causes you to try to lean on your own understanding, and we don't have the way. As far as the soul, we're lost, and the soul will never know the way. It'll have an inspiration. That anointing is in us. Everyone has the anointing, so you'll have an inspiration, but what takes over is the soul. The soul will then rob that anointing and drown it by its own understandings, by its own reasonings, by its own thoughts, and then filtrate it with fear and worry, where you can't step out in faith, where you can't walk forward. All the negative thoughts begin to start taking down and destroying those original hopes or the original anointing that God has laid on you that you can be a contender. You know, if you were like me, I was able to fulfill a lot of hopes and dreams. But I was limited because of the power of the soul. It was always there as a powerhouse knocking me down. It was always there as a powerhouse to kick it out or cause me to lose hope or discouragement or frustration or what have you. But when God has taken my life and changed it, I'm not saying that those things have disappeared. You know, the soul was always warring against the spirit, and it will always war against the spirit until the spirit is strong enough to put the soul under its feet. And this is where I'm at in my life now, where you actually surrender to the thoughts, you surrender to all that, and you embrace the anointing. You embrace, you know it's true. You just embrace what is inside of you, and you begin to live what's within inside of you despite the discouragements. I have just came across one of the most incredible testimonies that I would love to share, but I'm not sharing right now. But it's one of those things that, you know, when you lean on your own understanding, death will always be knocking at your door. But when you can give it up to the will of the Father, when you can say, not my will, but your will be done, my struggles and my thoughts, they are consuming me, but Lord, you are my God, and you are the one who saves me and delivers me, and you're the one who has called me. Now, you got to remember, everyone has a call on their life. It's just the direction of his will. How many people understand that? That's all it is. The call is the direction of his will. You've all been called. It's not a religious thing. I want you to understand, it's not a religious thing. I am not a religious person. I am far from a religious person. I'm the living word right now. I look at myself as a living word, not a religious individual. Where others might interpret, oh, you're religious. No, I'm not. I'm not religious. Because religion has a lot of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, goods and bads, and all these other things. I don't care about all that. The only thing I care about is if you come in spirit, if you come and answer the call. You know, God will lead you and guide you. And that's the whole purpose of really the truth, of really understanding what your life is. You know, I truly believe right now that there are windows and doors in heaven. And I believe that there's a door that he's knocking, and he's waiting for that door to open up. And I believe that there's a window that has already been opened up for our eyes to begin to see this mystery. And this mystery right now, I think people are longing to understand. They want to know, what is their purpose in life? What is their purpose? Well, I'm going to rephrase that and say, it's not your purpose, it's your call. What is your call? And we'll never know our call. You know that? In the soul, you will never know your call. Because God wants to do things that are far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. Now, what you have, I will say, is an anointing. And I want you to begin to uphold and grab hold of this anointing. And this anointing is simply an inspiration, an unction. But you don't know where that inspiration or that unction is going to lead you. You don't know where it's going to take you. You don't have no idea where it's going to take you. Now, I will say that the soul has an anointing too. The soul has an unction and an inspiration. But the unction and the inspiration of the soul is, it'll never work. It's hopeless. You're ugly. You're too big. You're uneducated. And it goes on and on and on and on and on until it begins to torment us. But there's an anointing from God. And that one is pure hope. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I have a will. I have a place. I have a destiny. I have a life. And we need to find that life. And we can't find it until we understand the truth. And the truth has to set us free. If you have negative thoughts, It's the soul. Right away, God does not give you negative thoughts. He might warn you about something. He might show you the true colors of something. But at the same time, he doesn't cause your heart to be afraid. He gives you wisdom. It's different. Soul will cause you to run and hide. But God will give you wisdom to face it and fight it. And in order for us to come into spirit, we have to die. And a lot of us may know the basics, but what is it to really die? What is it really to surrender? What is it really does it mean to give up and throw your life at the altar, at the feet of God? And I'm going to tell you right now, it's to tear down all those imaginations that are in your head, that are in your mind. And we know this. Most of us know this. Some of us know it pretty good that are here. But how often do we get troubled? How often do we fight those thoughts to the point where it causes our heart to be troubled? You know, Pastor Sam said something about the age of the Spirit. When we grow in truth, those battles don't exist anymore. They don't. You see it, you know it, and you just throw it down. It's like casting all your cares. And when you still have cares, you know, those things are going to just take your life and destroy it. But God knows his will, his call in your life. And he'll never leave you or forsake you in that call. And that's one thing that we really got to embrace. We really have to embrace that there is a life. Now, how many of us heard that out of the heart, what you think you are? How many of us heard that before? What a man thinketh in his heart, so you are. I want you to begin to start renewing your heart and start really believing. And if you don't have a clear vision of it, just embrace the anointing and say, Lord, I have an inspiration or a somewhat of a understanding that this is where I would like to be in my life. This is where I would like to be. Begin to embrace that and meditate on those things. And I'm serious about this, because what tends to happen, understand, the soul is always out to rob, steal, kill, and destroy the call of God. It's always out there to take away and destroy the call of God. How many of us understand that? See, we used to think that the devil is out here and he's, you know, robbing from you or taking away from you. But, you know, it's not about the devil. It really isn't. It's about the soul and the mind of the soul. How it's destroying our lives. And that's why this book, the Holy Bible, tells us to renew our minds as the mind of Christ. And if we don't begin to renew our minds, our hearts will never be transformed. And our hearts need to be transformed if we're going to ever get a life. Now, some of us may think we have a life. And if I had to like roll back time, okay, I could have been in the life of God the whole time. But the difference is, I didn't have any peace. I didn't have any joy. And I didn't have any righteousness. I could have been still doing the will of God. God wanted me to be self-employed. God wanted me to have a family. God wanted me to be over here in this geographical location. God wanted me, but I was living in the soul. Even though I might have been still walking in the call of God, because I was embracing my unction. I was embracing my inspiration. I was embracing, but the soul was robbing from it, causing me to get knocked down. And then I would have to pick myself back up. And my peace was being robbed. And my joy was being robbed. See, sometimes we think because we have no peace and we have no joy that we're out of the call. I want to kind of relieve you from the pressures of whether I'm in the soul or not in the soul. And sometimes we can fight a lot of our own personal salvation. I want to change your thoughts today, and I want you to say in your heart, no, you are in the call. You're just allowing your, I guess, the powers to take away the joy of your call. What you're doing is exactly where God wants you to be. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But it's so true, because you can't go back and regret what has been done in your life. You know, we learn by the things that we suffer. And those sufferings, I look at it as it was in the will of God. Even though he didn't want to put those sufferings on you. And yeah, he lets the wheat and tares grow together. So yes, the soul was allowed to take place. So I want you to know how to come out of the soul, because you're going to fight all the time if you don't know the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. We have to understand that the soul's power is always there to destroy us. How many of us right now are troubled with a situation? Amen. Thank you for being honest. You see? We're all troubled. The soul is always at work. Now, could you say, are you in God's will or not in God's will? Religion would say, you're not in God's will. Because if you're in God's will, oh, you wouldn't be going through those troubles. You wouldn't go through those sufferings. No, that is not true. I think you're perfectly exactly where God wants you. The problem is you don't know how to handle the warfare. You don't understand how the soul wants to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And remember this, the more sufferings you have, I want to say, the more God sees you as a contender. Because he'll never give you more than you can't handle. So when I see people with carefree lives and they seem like everything's going well for them and their sufferings are to a minimum, it's because, and I read a scripture not too long ago, it was in Romans chapter 10. If you have a chance, read it. It says that they were weak. They're just weak. So God sees you strong. God sees you strong, you know that? And that should be something for you to lift yourself up, to know that you can handle these discouragements, these disappointments, these frustrations, these attacks. You can. You know, when God began to cause me to see things differently, I was interpreting it in the power of the soul. And if you were here last week or you heard the message last week, you would understand that there is a root or a power that is called self-pity. How many have heard that one? And self-pity conforms you and allows you to feel sorry for yourself and brings you down even further and further and further. And we got to come out of that self-pity. And, you know, I'm grateful that I view myself now in spirit as a strong individual. Because when you're a strong individual and you have gone through torment, like where you feel hopeless sometimes, then it only shows me that God has a greater plan for you. bigger things, greater things. There is something ahead of you to where it's going to be great. And those things that manifest itself that way in your life, you can only give God more glory. When God does great things in your life, and you have the privilege of giving back that glory to the Lord, do you know what kind of reward is in heaven for that? It's like being a good warrior versus an average warrior. You know, you're a big contender on my team versus one that sits on the bench every once in a while. You know, so if you were a coach and you had to evaluate your team, what would you think? Would you want one that is a contender and be proud and happy and look towards that individual as someone that is good? Or would you like lift up and esteem the one that is just on the bench? You know, I want you to take your sufferings and change the way you're thinking. And realize that the more sufferings you're going through, the more greater of a call that is on your life. Now, I said earlier, that call is not going into ministry or anything like that. It's the life that God has for you. And that life accomplishes great things. And those great things is the magnitude of glory that is given back to God, if that makes sense. You know, some people have interpretations of heaven. Like, when you die, what are you going to do when you leave this earth? Float around singing heavenly glory songs to God all the time? Ooh, ooh. You know, at one respect of that thought, you're right. Because when you're giving praise back to God, you're actually giving Him gratitude and thanks for the glory that is set before you. I want you to see the glory that is set before you. You know, I used to fall trapped in that realm of self-pity. But then when God opened my eyes and realized the sufferings that were set there for me was only a higher praise to give Him, I began to embrace those sufferings and began to start saying, "Thank you, Lord, because you'll never give me more than I can handle. So obviously you're longing for my praise." When you overcome something, how do you feel? When you accomplish something, how do you feel? You feel good. You want to praise. You want to somehow praise something, whether it's yourself or if you have knowledge of this truth, you're going to praise God. You know, a lot of us, when you're humble and you walk in humility and you come across great accomplishments, there's a sound in heaven that is beyond your comprehension. But if you're prideful and you accomplish things, you're a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. There's no praise in heaven. You're weak. You know, the opposite in the spiritual realm is so keen and important right now to understand, because some people walk with pride, looking upon themselves as powerful or one who can accomplish things based on the ease of their life. But through heaven is viewed as a weak person, someone who is not looked upon as great and someone who is scorned. Crazy, isn't it? But when you are going through sufferings and you're broken and you have a broken, contrite heart, so to say, And you aren't walking with pride, but you're walking with humility. And you're accomplishing and going through your sufferings. And you actually get through your sufferings. Well, there's a praise that goes forth. And you might not see it, but God looks at you as great and mighty and victorious. Now, I don't know about you, but when I leave this earth, I want to be set in that place of honor and of glory. This is why, the Bible talked about, the glory that was set before you. And how Jesus, one of the children of God, was able to accomplish great sufferings. And through those sufferings, he was set in a position that was high above. And I know I experienced it in that high above realm of glory. How many of us want to be seated in that position? You see? We are contenders on this earth, and we're all striving to be great. Amen? Let's not say we're not. If we're saying we're not, we're being a liar to ourselves. But don't you want good things? It may not be selfish things, but you are striving for good things for maybe your children or for your loved one or whatever it might be, but you're always trying to accomplish great things. Some people are accomplishing careers to be looked upon as great. Oh, you're such a good whatever. Oh, you're such a good this. But our makeup is to obtain praise. How many people understand that one? Whether you're a good mom, good dad, good this, good that, you want to look upon as someone good. My point is, the design of heaven, God wants to ultimately create you to have a realm of glory, honor, and praise. And the call of God is there's a praise in that call of being victorious. And most of it, 99.9% of the call is your anointing. And that anointing is broken down as your inspirations, your feelings, your unction, your desires of something that you long for. I have lots, and I'm going to use my own life. I have lots of desires, but I can't paint a picture of that desire. I have a lot of wants, but if you ask me what I want, I can't tell you what I want. How many of you are like me? Amen. And that's good. That's a good way to be. Because God wants to work things far beyond what you can comprehend or imagine. If you have a desire and you have a want and you know what your desire is and you know what your want is, I want to tell you right now, you're cutting yourself short. Because you don't know how God's going to lead you or guide you or direct your path. He can do things and lead you and guide you if you just come in his rest. And I want to make a point in your life. We're all trying to find a life, amen? And we now are beginning to understand that the soul is trying to steal your life. Okay? Some people have been brought into a traditional belief that we're out to try to save the soul. Well, that is wrong. It's false doctrine. It's false belief. We need to kill the soul in order for the spirit to be resurrected and raised up. When we walk in spirit, we are now walking in the life that God is giving us. That's the life that he longs for us to have. It's very important to continue to log on, listen to the recorded messages, go back and hear about the truth that is being told so that we can paint a clear picture, take away all the traditional beliefs and doctrines that were ingrained in us, which I look upon them as whether lack of knowledge, and they didn't really have a clear understanding of what they were saying. But like Pastor Sam said earlier, he said, God said, I have come to bring a sword to divide and literally kill the soul and raise the spirit up. I paraphrased that, but he came to bring a sword to divide spirit and soul. And that soul has to go. And we were born in the soul. And I'm going to continue to repeat myself over and over until the light bulb comes on and really understands how the soul operates and how it needs the sin to live. It needs sin to live. It causes us to do things that we don't want to do. And how to get rid of the soul and how to die to the soul. And I shared earlier the nucleus is to, you know, trust or love God and with all your heart, soul, and mind. And how do you do that is you cast your cares away. You throw your thoughts down and then tap into the anointing. And that anointing is your heart. Be broken. Walk in humility. Understand that nothing, you don't deserve anything. And if God chooses to give it to you, you know, we need to go right back and acknowledge that all glory goes back to God. And those things that you suffer and you have hard times, understand that you're looked upon as strong, not weak, but strong, so that you can overcome your what so-called weakness. You're made strong in Him. And so if you can begin to reverse your thoughts and begin to transform your heart, you'll become spirit. It's a time of growth. And I truly believe that we are in a crucial period of an age where God is calling those for this next generation to understand this truth so that we can be conformed in spirit. You know, God wants to bless us. But always remember, if we don't take down the soul is going to rob your blessings. They're going to constantly rob your blessings. And I used to say a while back, I'm sorry that you now know the truth, because you might have been walking in blessings prior to the word. That's well and dandy, but now that you hear, all hell's going to break loose, and it's time to put in action what you're learning, what you're hearing, what you're beginning to see, because God has a life, a greater life. You might have been glorying, giving Him glory, but there's a greater glory that He longs for. And He wants to hear the praises of His people. And it's time to give praises to God through the life that He's given us. Amen? Amen. I'm going to close now because of time. But if I can have every head bowed for a moment. Lord, I want to first personally thank You and give You honor and praise for the life that You have given me. And I know that there is sufferings and, you know, Lord, there's a lot of judgment in the world right now as far as looking down at those who have suffered. But only You know, Lord, that when You look down at those who suffer, you see glory. You see victory. You see strength. And Lord, I thank You that when You look down at us, those that are suffering, You see that. And how we now view ourselves in Your eyes. And those that aren't suffering, that are full of judgment, that look at their lives as easy and things are going well for me and why do I need God? You despise them and You look down at them and You call them weak and You see them weak in Your eyes. Lord, I thank You that You see me as a contender. I thank You that You see me as one who would give You glory where your glory is due. I thank that you don't despise me and see me weak, but yet you're calling me. You're calling us. And Lord, I hope that our hearts can see this truth, those that are listening and those that are here, so that they don't get discouraged and they don't lose hope in their sufferings, but yet they see how you see and how you view us, because the nature of your spirit is really just the longing to make you proud of us. And so, Father, I thank you for your word today. And I ask that you give each and every one a level of your mercy. The place where they are coming to, take some of that pressure off of them, as you've done to me, and relieve them of their troubled heart. Heal them so that they will embrace you more. I know it's hard to call upon your name in a realm of glory when things don't seem to be going right. And then we question, is there really a God? And Lord, I ask that you reveal yourself in their lives so that they know that there is a God and that it's just not a myth, that you're real and alive and living. I pray, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And I want to ask Sam to come up and close. And if you got a closing.
Real quick. This is in Hebrews 4, verse 1. It says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should fall short of it. For unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, the prayer at the end for me would be just, Father, you know, let me start thanking you for every roadblock in my life. Let me thank you for every single thing that happens to me every day. And keep that place of rest. Keep that place of peace. Don't let my heart be troubled. And just thank you for everything. Every roadblock that we think is negative, we have to thank him. And know that he is directing our steps. And that if he's for us, who could be against us? And he has opened every door in our lives. Just thank him. Keep thanking him over and over. Never, ever, ever say anything but thank you. I mean, stop complaining and start just rejoicing in all things. Amen? Amen. 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 Wednesday night, we have our Wednesday night service at 7:30. It's a great night to come out. It's getting deeper every week. It really is becoming a great night. We take this message from Sunday, and we go three steps further every Wednesday. And the Wednesday night people who are listening are getting a real treat. I mean, they're actually getting a gift, and it's been awesome. So if you can come out, please join us. It's a great night. Amen? Yeah, we're logging on. The recording's there a couple days later, but listen, just keep, like I said, keep logging on to the messages. Get in your weapons to fight, to resist the enemy, so the enemy has to flee. If you fight him, you resist him, he can't stay. He's not eating. If he's not eating, he starves and has to die. He just flops away. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.